Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Is it just you, Hannah?
I think so.
You want to go forward or you want to wait?
Well, I glanced at two verses while I was waiting for you, and I'm going to need your help if you want to proceed. Okay. It's okay with
well,
me.
I haven't looked at them, but why don't we just go forward?
Okay.
We're in Parashat Noach, section 21, Pasuk 157. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud.
Okay.
L'shem Yichud kutzav arichu ishkinte bithilu urchimu uthilu uthilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe v'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhinu amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kunane aleinu ma'asei adenu kunanehu. Rabbi Yehuda Hawa Shekiyach Kameya de Rabbi Shimon Wahawo Aske Vahai Kira Dikti Vairafe Vairape Et Mizbach Hashem Pecharus Mai Viarape Achatze bimei Eliyahu Yisrael kolho shavku leya v'kudsha b'richu v'shavku b'rit kayama dilchon kadata Eliyahu V'chamadika shavku b'nei Yisrael hai berit kayama v'yavaru minehu hai berit. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting before Rabbi Shimon, and both were studying the text in which it is written, and he opened the altar of Hashem that was broken down. What is the meaning of the term repaired in this verse? Come and see. In the days of Elijah, all Israel left the Holy One, blessed be He, and in so doing left their holy covenant. And when Elijah came and saw that the children of Israel had left the holy covenant, and therefore it had been taken away from them, he fixed it and brought it back to its place. That is, he fixed Yesod, making it capable of mating with Malchut. And this is considered to be the repair of the altar, which is Malchut, as shall be further explained. So questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think it's saying that the idea that the children of Israel had turned away from the Holy One means they were into idolatry. I always think, when I think of Elijah, I think of Ahab and Jezebel, and he came in, and so it's like idolatry is a metaphor for breaking the marriage covenant between the children of Israel and Hashem. And he came in and destroyed those altars. So that's about all I see from it. So help.
Well, the word that's being used here is brit, for covenant, as opposed to the last verse, last section, was using milah, for the covenant. Mila represents sexuality. So what is the actual contract? What the covenant is, the board Brit represents a contract. So what is a contract between Hashem and the children of Israel? Start with that, answering that question.
That he's your God. And you're faithful to that God, to him, not to him.
Well, if you live with the concept of multiple gods, God forbid, then each god has a contract with you. So each god has said, "I'm the god of this particular area of life." And I have a contract with you. If you serve me in this way, whatever that way is, then I will provide for you. So just now apply that to Hashem and the Jewish people. God has said repeatedly, if you serve me, I will provide you with all of these blessings. That is the contract. But what does it mean to serve him?
And to be faithful to the mitzvot.
To follow the mitzvot. But ultimately, the purpose of following the mitzvot is to grow your spiritual level, which means to grow your desire to receive, so that Hashem can provide you more. The bigger your desire to receive, the more Hashem will share with you. The more Hashem shares, the bigger your desire becomes. This is the circle of life. This is the circle of the contract. When you are satisfied, when you settle, going back to Jacob settling in Shechem, what happens? The chaos begins, because you're not allowing Hashem to grow, to share more. Now, we think of Hashem as being unlimited, but the real nature of Hashem is to grow himself. And the way he grows is by being able to share more. Now, that's not normally the way people think of God. They think of God as static, not growing. But the only, when we look at the planet Jupiter, which is the word tzedek in Hebrew, the nature of the planet Jupiter is to get larger. Well, what does tzedek mean in Hebrew? We translate it as judgment and justice and as the planet. But this idea that Hashem has, we can't call it a desire, but Hashem, the plan of creation is to continually grow the vessel so it will receive more. And the way the vessel receives more, the way it grows, is in two ways. Either it cleanses itself, so there's more space within the vessel, or the capacity of the vessel grows by virtue of its desire growing. Now, the people of the generation of the flood, they broke down the altar. They abdicated the contract. They said, we like the physicality. We're not into spirituality. And that created this broken down altar, which is a metaphor for understanding how people would relate to each other. We have the Midrashes telling us that, well, they stole from each other, they didn't treat each other properly, they committed sexual improprieties, all of these different things that they did wrong. But the essence of what they did was not do spiritual work. They accepted the physical as the goal. This pasuk is coming and saying, in order to leave the Holy One, it means you stop growing. Whether that's in knowledge, whether that's in wisdom, whether that's in love, whenever you stop growing, that attribute is being limited. And that attribute is expressed always in the level of Yesod. Because what is Yesod? It's truth. It's justice, all of the different attributes. It's essentially receiving all of the five sefirot, chesed, gevura, tiferet, netzachot. This is the nature of Yesod. So when you start to grow again, you are repairing this level of Yesod. And it's Yesod represents sexuality, but sexuality is really an aspect of creativity. And so to repair the altar means to repair creation, means to grow your desire to receive. Is that helpful?
Yes, very much so.
What you said was correct, but it was oriented to the physical and not the spiritual. And always understand that the Zohar is speaking of spirituality.
I'm always kind of see the physical as a picture of the spiritual. To me, they mesh together, and especially
they do mesh together. Mm-hmm. They do mesh together, but you have to think of it in the terms that the words used that is describing physical things is trying to teach us or connect us to the consciousness of spiritual things, not the physical things. Yes, it is a mirror. Yes, they are enmeshed. But when you use a physical term like altar, what are you really describing?
A relationship?
Yes. Yes. But for most people, when they say altar, they mean a place where they can do a sacrifice, a place where they can pray, a place where they can meditate and make connection to Hashem. But what is the spiritual work that one does with an altar? An altar is just a table, isn't it? And that's why after the temple was destroyed, the sages said to us, the table that you eat on is an altar to Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
You it's very difficult to break this habit of hearing physical terms, physical words describing physical things, and then getting out of your mind that physical thing and expand your understanding so that the word you're using is really describing a spiritual essence. And you really cannot do that till you experience the meditative process that takes you to a different dimension where you can perceive an altar is not a table. An altar is a place of connection. An altar is a place of sacrifice, which draws you closer. It's hard to get across the concepts in words. And I know you think in pictures, but always remember the pictures you see are limited to what you expect, what your experience is. Should I go on or should I hold up?
That's okay. Whichever. See, to me, I was saying that whenever I told you that it was a picture of a spiritual relationship. Evidently, my words don't match up with what you think. So, but that's okay. I enjoy what you do bring out because it does make it clearer, and I appreciate it.
Everybody perceives things differently. So when you have a picture, you can't transfer that picture to me. You can describe it in words, but it doesn't do it justice, as we all know. So it's not that I'm not seeing the same thing you are. I'm not supposed to see the same thing you are. But that doesn't make what I see more clear than what you see. I've just been given this tool to do my work, which is my work is teaching what I'm teaching, and the tool I've been given is to be able to help people understand that what they're seeing in a picture has a broader sense than just the way they're perceiving it from the physical. And always remember, it doesn't mean I'm right. I'm right for me, but I may not be right for you. You always have to question that.
So that's I like it when we have more than just me. Because I think when others have a say and tell a little bit, and then you just put the pieces together and you're able to, I don't know, contribute more than when it's just me and you.
I agree. That's why I don't, you know, sometimes it's timing is good to go on. It's important during the month of Tibet, because of the connection to anger, the more we connect to the Zohar during this month, the less prone to the anger we will become. And so normally my predilection is to wait until there's at least two people in these classes. And then sometimes it's people who don't want to express themselves, so we need to draw them out. But there are other times during Tibet, it's a month where it's important to move forward and do as much connection to the Zohar as possible, even if we don't really expand and delve into things as deeply as we both would like.
Right.
So we're essentially at our time period. So we'll speak tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a beautiful evening, and we'll have questions and answers tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. I've been up since 3 a.m., so hopefully I'll be able to stay awake.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.